أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 36 to 40, Tafsir. Last time, we learned a beautiful ayah, Ayah 35, and we learned that Allah has put fitrah, which can be considered an inner instinct in mankind. This is placed to guide man to the truth. And this inner light to recognize the truth will keep on burning when it continuously gets the oil. It is not something that exists on its own in the lamp, but is poured in from outside. It comes from a tree. Therefore, we learn we must have a continued relation with the Quran. We have to read it, learn it, understand it. It is so important. And whoever keeps a connection with it, their lamp will continue to burn. Otherwise, the light fades and sometimes gets extinguished. Also, when the oil is pure and proper, then the light is brighter, while when it is of a lesser quality, then the light is less as well. We have to decide for ourselves if we want to increase this nur or light by maintaining a connection with the Quran, or if it burned once, then we think it will continue to burn on its own. By leaving the Quran, then the light eventually fades. Do we want to make our relation with the Quran stronger? The Quran has no negative influences, either of the West or the East. It is pure. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. When the oil is pure, then the quality of the light is better, while if the oil is impure, then the light is not bright. The more sincere the intention one has in learning and keeps on cleaning the dirt that falls on the glass, then it becomes like a lamp that illuminates his surroundings. When there is light, everything becomes clear, and there is no fear of falling or getting hurt. When there is no light of the Quran, then a person doesn't know what is the truth and doesn't know how to conduct oneself and wanders blindly. When this nur or the light comes, then he can see the road. If we look at the placement of this ayah, we learn about the had, or the ruling of punishment for fornication. We learn about li'an, then about the etiquettes of seeking permission of entering a house. Then we learn the ayat about veil and hijab for women. We learn about relations of women who are considered her mahram, and then about guarding the private parts and the eyes. Then ayah 35 comes in the middle, right after these commands. We learn that until this lamp doesn't get lit, the light of the iman or faith, if it is not fueled with the oil, which symbolizes the Quran, the commands given by Allah in the Quran, are meaningless, or will consider them unimportant, and there will not be any benefit. There are inner darknesses and outer. If one lights the inner misbah, or the lamp, and the light of faith is lit, then the person can understand many matters. The person will not obey the commands of Allah because of a teacher is telling them to, or someone else. They will follow them with their own will. This is the matter of the heart, and whoever's heart is illuminated will be like the misbah, which is lit. When there is recognition of Allah's greatness, then following the commands of Allah will become easy. Otherwise, these commands will be no more than just writings in a text. We must illuminate this lamp and clean the glass if it is dirty. Then the approach to these ayahs will be totally different. And now we will look at ayah 36. Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yuzkara fiha ismuhu. Fi buyutin, in homes, a believer whose heart is like a misbah and is light upon light. In them, where are they found? Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a. In homes that Allah gave permission to be raised. They are found in these homes. Wa yuzkara fi hasmuhu, where Allah is mentioned, meaning the masajid. There people are found in the masajid, and not only there, but even at homes where Allah's name is raised and mentioned. What does it mean that Allah gave permission to raise? This has two meanings. First is to raise them, physically build these masajid, and build them where they are clearly visible, giving them a high and visible location. Number two meaning is to sanctify and to give respect. As when we give honor to someone, we respect them. So the believer is one whose hearts are such, the place where they spend most of their time are the masajid, or even in their homes, where remembrance of Allah is raised or made. So the command of Allah is to give respect to them, places where the name of Allah is magnified and mentioned. So the honor of buyutin is that the tasbih of Allah is done there. Yusabbihu lahu fiha bilghuduwi wal-a'sal. They do tasbih, glorify for him in it. Where? In the buyut, in the morning and evening. This is done in the masajid. So this is the command to give respect to homes where Allah is glorified morning and evening. It can be where Quran is being taught, read, or learning of deen is happening, where there is dhikr of Allah continuously being made all the time. Place where five daily prayers are prayed, also where halaqas are conducted. They can be a school, a masajid, or even a private home, where Allah is mentioned morning and evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is respect for all these places. Why? And not because of its beautiful architecture and ornamentation, only because Allah is mentioned there. Therefore, Allah has given them a special rank and regard and are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, if certain buildings, a certain day or certain time, its respect and sanctity is due to its attachment with the remembrance of Allah. For example, the month of Ramadan is blessed because Allah is remembered much in that month. Muslims fast for the sake of Allah. They do night prayers or qiyam for the sake of Allah. Similarly, Baytullah, Masjid al-Haram, where dhikr or remembrance of Allah is always being done, where tawaf is being done for the sake of Allah, and people come to worship Allah. And if we think of Masjid al-Haram and places where Allah is remembered, does the condition of the heart stay the same going to such places versus going anywhere else? No, the condition of the heart changes. Such as when one goes to the masjid as soon as they enter, they pray Nawafil, and then a tranquility descends upon the heart, and the heart naturally becomes focused in the remembrance of Allah. Therefore, these places have special sanctity and respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this honor. When it is mentioned, Adhina Allah, it means Allah has permitted, means Allah has given these places this sanctity. And in Anturfa, they are raised, meaning built. People should have a want to build masajid. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever builds a masjid for the sake of purpose of earning Allah's pleasure, Allah makes a home similar to it in Jannah for them. This is a Bukhari and a Muslim narration. So building a masjid is a deed which earns great reward. Ka'ab rahmatullah alayhi say that in Tawrah it is written that Allah has said that masajid are his homes on earth, as we called the masajid Baytullah. Allah has ascribed masajid for himself, and whoever comes to my house with proper wudu and to meet with me, I will give honor to them. Just as when anyone comes to a person's house, it is the due right of the guest that he is revered and honored. This is in tafsir of Abi Hatim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the masajid are his homes, and whoever comes to his home with a proper wudu to meet with him, being clean and pure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will honor them. Just as when a person goes to someone's house, the person of the house respects and honors them because they came to meet with them. So similarly, because a person goes to the house of Allah, Allah too honors them. And how to sanctify these places? Attention must be given to keep it clean and have a nice smell. So the masajid should smell nice. It doesn't only mean that the person going there should put perfume on themselves, but the masajid should smell nice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that masajid should be built in streets and kept pure and clean and have a good smell. Ibn Abbas narrated a hadith which stated that you will surely adorn and beautify your masajid, just as the Yahud and Nasara did. What we learn from this hadith is that frivolous, expensive expenditure is not necessary. In Abu Dawood, it is narrated that Qiyamah will not be established until people will show pride over their masajid, competing with each other regarding whose masjid is more beautiful. And whoever wants to love me should love my companions, and whoever wants to love my companions should love the Quran. And whoever wants to love the Quran should love the masajid, because they are houses of Allah. And Allah has commanded to sanctify and respect them, and has put blessings in them. And they themselves are blessed, and those who inhabit these homes are blessed, and those who visit them enter in its blessings. When they are occupied in praying salah, Allah takes care of their affairs and fulfills their needs. And when they are in the masjid, Allah guards their belongings, because they have come to the house of Allah and are under Allah's protection. Therefore, the masajid should be loved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that whoever removes something filthy, impure, and unclean from the masjid, Allah will make a house for them in Jannah. So whenever we go to the masajid and use their bathrooms, we should leave them clean, because this is a place made in the house of Allah. We cannot make a mess in it, and nor leave or take our garbage there. So if we eat something in the masjid, we cannot leave without picking up after oneself. Cannot think that it is the responsibility of the management of the masjid to clean up. We must remember that it is considered the house of Allah. Also, if anything is lost, cannot announce for it. As a man came to the masjid looking for his camel and announced, "Is there anyone who could tell me about my red camel?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "May it be that you never find your camel, because masajid are not for this purpose." And this is a Muslim narration. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ forbade buying, selling, trading, and reciting poetry in the masajid, because reciting poetry is devoid of Allah's zikr, and buying and selling is also not allowed. As we sometimes see in certain masajid during Ramadan, where Taraweeh is being prayed, and there are clothes stalls in the back. The woman's attention is diverted in buying clothes, not to pray Taraweeh. Masjid is not a marketplace, and this goes against the respect that is due. This is not a place of trade. The Prophet ﷺ said, "If you see anyone buying or selling in the masjid, tell them, may Allah not bring profit in your trade." This is how serious this is. Nor can anyone bring any weapons in the masjid. It is mentioned not to even bring their bow and arrow, as this too is against the sanctity of the masjid. So in sanctifying and raising of masjid, is its respect. And this is what is being mentioned. What is the respect due to the masjid? Keeping it clean and with good smell, and not to do anything that goes against the rules of respect, such as making announcements for lost things, nor doing buying or selling, and nor reciting poetry, and not taking out weapons. Another thing is not taking raw meat there, as it has a smell or the blood flows out of it. Also, the had or punishments due on a person from certain sins will not be carried out there. Nor should people indulge in gossips or vain talk with stories in the masajid. Nor decisions of disputes are to be carried out there, because raising voice in the masjid is its disrespect. And Allah has commanded in the Quran for sanctifying and respecting the masajid. Not just because someone stands in the masalla with a sign telling people to stop talking in the masjid, or if the management emphasizes on reminding comers to keep the masjid clean. The respect should be observed because Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran. Sa'ib bin Yazid said, "I was in the masjid. Then I saw someone throw a pebble at me. I looked back and saw it was Umar. He said, 'Go and call those two people and bring them to me.' When I went and brought those two men to him, Umar asked them where they were from and who they were. They said, 'We are from Taif.' Umar said, 'If you were once from here, I would have punished you because you were speaking so loudly in the masjid.'" This is in Bukhari. Another time, Umar asked a man, "Do you even know where you are? You are speaking so loudly in Masjid al-Nabi. This is a place where zikr of Allah is raised and His praise is done morning and evening. But these are people whose hearts are connected to the masjid, those who have light upon light in their heart. and their hearts are illuminated like the misbah. They go to the masajid, and also their homes are a place where Allah is remembered day and night, and filled with nur. When there is darkness everywhere outside, they are up and praying and occupied in the remembrance of Allah, and they supplicate to Allah. In one hadith it is mentioned that those on the heavens see those on earth just as those on earth see the stars. Similarly, those who are in the heavens look at those homes where the remembrance of Allah is being made, and they see them as brilliant stars. The angels see those homes where dhikr of Allah is made, homes in which morning and evening tasbih of Allah is being done. In doing tasbih, the actual tasbih is meant, and praying of salah is also implied. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and remembered, where His Quran is being recited, where its learning is taking place, or other than mandatory five salahs are being prayed, the homes that have these qualities, the angels see them as we see stars in the heavens. We need to assess if our homes are ones that are radiant and brilliant. Just as when we are on a plane at night and we see lights twinkling on the ground, this is how the angels see those homes. So what kind of house is ours? One with nur or one without nur? The angels do not care about the lights that people place to see. For angels, remembrance of Allah is nur. When it is deep at night, would they see our house at time of the Hajjud or Fajr, one sparkling in the darkness? Or are we sleeping or awake doing dhikr of Allah? Similarly, we learn about dedicating a small portion of the house as a place of worship, as Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had made part of his house as a masjid. And we find proof when the idolater women and children would listen to his Quran while he prayed in his portion of the house. We too can allocate part of our house for worship, where we can pray. There is no harm in doing so, because not all salahs are usually prayed in the masjid. Or even if men are able to go regularly, the fard are prayed in the masajid, while it is preferable to pray nawafil at home. And this is for men. Similarly, in a Bukhari and Muslim narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, the salah a person prays in the masjid is 25 times more rewarding than when he prays at home or at his shop. Because when he makes a proper wudu and leaves his home with the intention of praying in the masjid, with every step he takes to reach the masjid, his rank is raised, and one sin is forgiven with each step that he takes. And when he finishes praying, then remains in his place of praying, the angels pray for him, praying for the mercy of Allah and his blessings. And if the person waits for time of jama'ah, he keeps getting rewarded for praying the salah. A person who is a neighbor of a masjid, his salah is not accepted at home and has to go to the masjid to pray. And one who goes to the masjid in the darkness, which salahs are prayed in darkness? Isha and Fajr and Maghrib. For them is good news. In the Sunan, it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, these people will get complete nur. For those whose hearts were lit with nur in this life, then they will find the nur in the grave. And on the day of Qiyamah, man will need this nur or light. Their nur or light will reach in front of them, as mentioned in Surah Al-Hadid. How this nur will be running in front of them, and in that light they will cross over the Pulsarat, or the slippery bridge. Whoever has the light here in this world, only they will get it there. But if there is no Noor or light in their hearts, and they live their lives in darkness, then there will be darkness there as well. For women, praying Salah at home is superior than praying in the masjid. If women pray at home, Allah will reward them. They can dedicate some part of their home as a masjid. Women have not been prohibited from going to the masajid. They can go, but not to reveal their beauty and adornment to men, nor they should wear perfume when they go out to the masjid. If the masjid was made into a place to go dressed up and to meet other people, then it is better for the person to pray at home. If a woman cannot go to the masjid without having to dress herself and beautifying herself because she feels she will not look nice, then it is better for her to pray at home, because if she goes, she may earn sin if she dresses up and wears perfume. In a Bukhari and a Muslim hadith, it is mentioned that the Muslim woman would come to the masjid for Fajr Salah and would leave wrapped up in their shawls, and because of the darkness of the night, they would not be recognized. They would cover themselves up so well. This is also considered respect of masjid to come with proper attire when going there, not going there just as we are at home, leaving home without a scarf, and then looking for one when we get there, and then worrying about how they look. Sometimes a management of a masjid leaves a basket with a skirt and a hijab so a woman can wear to come in the masjid. If this is a problem, then women can pray at home. If they have to come, they should be dressed properly. And for going to the masajid, one should know the etiquettes, as we learned. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stated that the new matters women have derived when they come to the masjid, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have found them and seen them doing those things in his life, he would have stopped the woman from coming to the masjid, just as women of Bani Israel were stopped. This is Bukhari and Muslim narration. As just in that time, after passing away of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, change started occurring in the woman. This is why this was said. Now certain believers are commanded, those whom trades and nothing stops them from coming to the masjid, even if they are doing a business transaction, even when they don't fear or worry about losing their sale. Rather, masjid attracts them like a magnet. And trade and buying and selling, it does not make them heedless from the remembrance of Allah, nor from their salah, nor prevents them from going to the masjid. Rijalun, men are mentioned because praying Salah in the masjid is fard for them. Women can go to the masjid, but the actual duty is for men. In some masajids, it is such that there are more women than men praying, while men should give more attention for praying in the masjid. So men, لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله, doesn't make them heedless any trade or bartering or buying or selling from the remembrance of Allah. Tijaratun, the tafsir is for those who are selling or buying in the markets, doing a business. And bay'un is for when a transaction of sale or deal is happening, either by signing a contract or a sale, and a person has gone to the counter to check out. So even at this time, these transactions Do not make them heedless of remembrance of Allah. Wa iqam as-salah, and in establishing the salah, or the prayer, soon as they hear the adhan, the call to prayer, they stop and tell the buyer they have to leave for their salah. That is the time when a person can say, I can pray later. I cannot let go of this deal or the sale. But even this doesn't make them heedless, and they leave for salah when they hear the adhan. Once Ibn Mas'ud saw traders leave their trading and heading for the masjid, he recited this ayah, so we learn what is this about. Abu Darda said, if I do trade, and every day, if I have an opportunity to earn 300 dinar, I would leave all of it to go and pray. It doesn't mean that trading and doing business is not allowed. Rather, trading is allowed. But if these things make a person heedless from the remembrance of Allah, then that is not good. Salam bin Abdullah was going for salah and saw the shopkeepers covering their goods and leaving for salah, as there was no one present to watch over their goods. Then he recited this ayah. He said, these are the ones Allah has commanded in the Quran. We see this happening in Saudi Arabia. The shopkeepers cover their goods and leave for their salah immediately. The Salihin would take great care in this. Even if they had the scales in their hand to measure the goods, and if they heard the adhan, they would put down their scales and leave for the masajid. They did not even complete the sales, but would leave the transaction, even if the fruit was in the scales, because they regarded the importance of salah. Only a person whose heart is connected to the masjid can do that, not others. Today, adhan is called out in the masajid. Many adhans are heard in Muslim countries, yet people do not care. Shops remain open, sales continue, and people continue on with their shopping. There is no difference for people whether the adhan is heard or not. They take it as a voice and nothing else. Then there were those who, even if they were traders, were not neglectful of the call to the prayer.